Hello. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
How's it going?
It's going all right.
Did you play any I Am Setsuna today?
I did. You know, I started it last night, and I wasn't really intending to play any today, but like I couldn't get it off my mind.
It was calling you.
Huh?
It was calling you.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like, you know, it's kind of, that game I feel wasn't very well reviewed, because I think it was like people had very, very high expectations and were thinking of it as a successor to Chrono Trigger and stuff like that. And it does, you know, draw a lot from Chrono Trigger, especially in the battle system.
Right.
But I don't think that's like the right mindset to go into it with. It's, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of environment variety because you're in this like snowy world, and all the music is piano. And I think one criticism I heard is that the game's just very, it's very sad and depressing. And but at the same time, I don't think it entirely takes itself too seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you'd like it because you kind of like games with sort of that sort of
melancholy.
That melancholy feel, like Nier and stuff.
Right. Bleak, maybe.
But I really like it so far. It's kind of actually interesting how it sort of takes the Chrono Trigger battle system, but it kind of improves on it almost in what I think are some smart ways. Like if you when the ATB is full, you can actually have another meter start to fill up if you let it sit there. And when it gets full, you can hold up to like 3 charges to do stronger attacks or add extra damage or extra effects to your magic and techs and combos. And so I think that's kind of a cool way to, you know, because when you're managing that ATB with like the 3 characters at once, you know, you're letting some characters like continue to just sit there doing nothing in Chrono Trigger. But in this, they're like gaining toward another charge. So it's kind of interesting. I really like it so far.
Nice. It sounds like, I mean, I'm waiting for the import price to come back down a little bit since it was discovered it had English on it. The price has gone up quite a bit. I mean, it's not like a ton, but I mean, it's about $15 higher than like the retail price currently.
Yeah, I mean, I would still be worried that it might be a one print game, and you know,
yeah, you're gonna make me buy it tonight. Time. Probably, I'm probably gonna buy it tonight.
Well, I mean, I really like it.
I mean, it seems like a good game to like get for the Switch too.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. And, you know, yeah, it's good to have an RPG to take on the road with you, you know, I think. So, I mean, if I don't have it finished by the Missouri Game Con, I might be taking it on the plane with me. Who knows?
But you probably will. You probably will.
I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't think it's super, super long. I think it's like 20 to 25 hours, which is, you know, about like Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, it was just like it's perfect length.
But but yeah, it's pretty cool. Been also playing a little bit of Splatoon 2.
Nice.
So kind of switching out some Switch game carts. It was actually storming really hard earlier, so I was like, I'm going to turn off my computer and play the Switch in portable mode.
So you don't have to worry about anything like
yep.
power surges. So we are living in a post Saturn RGB world now.
that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels so good to have that done, man. It was kind of a long haul for something surprisingly simple. I
think you were overthinking it at times.
Absolutely. When I started shooting and editing it, I was definitely overthinking it. It took me a really long time to get into a groove with it. You know, I think we just kind of discussed this the other day that when it comes to like system specific RGB episodes, like 200 level, this is the first one I've done since in 2 years. 2 years.
Well, you've only done Sega related ones,
right?
So you're like Three-fifths of the way there.
That's true. That's true. I mean, Game Gear and Dreamcast are the only ones left.
Yeah.
Which, but it's still, it's stupid that it really kind of took this long. But, you know, it's I'm very relieved to have it finished. And, you know, I think I explained that I had, a lot of, I called it editor's block, where I just had, you know, a real hard time getting into it because, you know, like, I'm excited to release this Night Trap episode, and
yeah,
and you know, it's just like knowing that that's done, and it's like probably the thing I'm most happy with that I've ever edited. That, you know, it was just hard for me to get into a mindset of release or getting in, like, working on something without having closure with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel the exact same way. Even though I was not the editor on that, it's still something I'm just so excited to see get out there.
Right.
It's sort of given me a little bit of a hard time, you know, getting my mind in my projects too. But yeah. But I'm glad Saturn's out. I thought it turned out absolutely fantastic. I think you nailed it. You know, I mean, one thing that you said when you were talking about how hard it was to edit the Saturn is not a very photogenic console.
Yes, it is.
I mean, especially the American one, the black one.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of the big thing. That was just, you know, I really struggled with, like, making it look good. And, you know, yeah. I had the gray Japanese one on loan.
The gray Saturn
was
cool.
A bit on the dirty side.
Yeah, it was dirty, but still,
it's a little grimy, you know, but it's okay.
The white one, you didn't show much of it, but the white one looked really cool. And the This Is Cool looked very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta ship that back.
But I mean, you did good with what the Saturn is. You know, it's so hard because it's just this big black blob. The buttons are black. Everything is black. There's just no way to light it and make it look interesting.
Right.
But you know, it certainly is a much loved console. I feel. I mean, maybe it's just people sort of buckling down for how not particularly well received it was in its day, at least in America. But I feel like I've seen more people say that, like, the Sega Saturn is a perfect console than, like, like that kind of hyperbole about it. Like, it's perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. people obviously really love the Dreamcast and stuff, but people really like the Saturn.
Yeah. You know what they like? They like Saturn emulators, especially ones that we didn't talk about.
Yeah, so I guess there's this thing called Mednafen, which sounds like a prescription drug. And like, they're like, you know, it slowed down after like the first day or so, but like, there was just this barrage of I can't believe you guys didn't cover Mednafen. You guys forgot Mednafen. No one told us about Mednafen.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like I should have seen it as like a commercial on TV with lots of disclaimers about side effects, but no, I'd never heard of Mednafen. I'm sorry.
Emulation stuff in these episodes are always kind of, you know, it's a bonus, and we usually gloss over it. We just, like, I hadn't heard of it, and it's
we talk to people, and, you know, it's like, they're like, oh, SSF is definitely the one you need to look into. And then, you know, it was kind of like, oh, well, I've played with Yabba Use a bit, so, or however you say it, and, you know, so we can cover that. No one corrected us until we released it. Although it sounds like, if I'm not misunderstanding, that Mednafen is like a multi-system emulator, and it's just got a Saturn core that just so happens to be considered really good. But I don't feel like it's, I'm not looking at it as something that was seriously overlooked or blemishes the episode or anything, because emulators are just always evolving anyway. And it's never the point of our episodes. Honestly, all the complaints about that kind of just makes me want to include emulators even less, because it's not the point, and people seem to misunderstand. I mean, if you don't include emulators, people are like, why not just emulate? And almost leave comments that have the tone of like, haven't you ever heard of emulation? Duh, it's obviously the best.
Yeah, there's a really funny comment today about emulation. I gotta find it really quick here. I couldn't help but laugh, and I think you probably know what I'm gonna mention.
I forget exactly. There was actually
the comment said, use an emulator, duh. You guys are dumb trying to act smart.
there was another Raspberry Pi comment today too.
Yeah, and we get it. But that's not the focal point of what the RGB series is about. You know, obviously we focus on real hardware and
I see it as the emulation stuff. I really see is just, this is a look, a brief glimpse into what is possible. Like, that's how I did in the PlayStation episode. Like, super brief, showed like two or three clips, really. And was just like, hey, it's there. You can do all kinds of things with it, but we're not really getting into that because that's not the focus. But
right.
I'm just acknowledging it so that people don't say, why didn't you cover emulation? So I'm probably not going to get too much into it in the PS2 episode, which I don't think, I could be mistaken. I need to look into it, obviously, but I don't think PS2 emulation is considered to be at a super good spot right now. I mean, I think it can look very nice when it works, but I think doesn't perform that well or has a lot of crashes. I'm not clear on the specifics, but I feel like I've heard people criticize PS2 emulation.
Yeah.
Frank Strasser says, let other YouTubers cover that stuff. People do ask us a lot like, oh, why don't you cover, do an episode all about emulators. And it's like, maybe if we had the right help, but it's not something we know a lot about ourselves. It's more just a fascination of what you can do with real hardware or how you can play these games across like official methods or, with mods or whatever.
Right.
I
guess I should probably get to the game.
Yeah, let's get into Panzer Dragoon.
Yeah, so this is one that, I kind of came back to a lot in the episode, and I have not very many Saturn games, and I think that was kind of a big kind of shortcoming of the episode, is that I have not played all the way through a lot of Saturn games, so I didn't have, later game saves. So you see a lot of the first few areas of games and or first few levels being used throughout the video. But Panzer Dragoon 2 is one that I have not beaten. I've been, I'm a big fan of the series, but for some reason, a lot of people would consider this like the best shooter one. But I love Orta. I have played it so much.
I played within the past year, I beat both of the Saturn shooter Panzer Dragoons. I don't have Saga, and I don't expect ever to have Saga. But I played Panzer Dragoon and Panzer Dragoon Spy, and I really liked the first Panzer Dragoon a lot.
Really quick. So this game is interesting that it has a real widescreen mode in it. So I'm going to be playing it completely in widescreen, like a true widescreen.
Right. It's also got a letterbox option, I think, but you can
I only saw that because I paused it during the opening when the whole game was letterboxed.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, I am not super well versed in the Saturn library, but I don't know of any other Saturn game or any PlayStation game, period, that has a widescreen mode. The only N64 ones that I know of are GoldenEye and Perfect Dark.
Really?
I feel like there might be others, but that's all I know of. There's like Jet Force Gemini has a letterbox mode, but this is a true widescreen mode, and it looks great, I think.
Yeah.
It's a super good looking game, I think. I enjoy playing both of them a lot, but I feel like I like the first a bit more because it kind of goes back to that thing I always talk about where when a game has limited continues and forces you to start from the beginning again, you kind of get to know it better. You get to go through the levels. It just kind of makes more of an impression, by the end of it. And this has infinite continues, and it definitely had some hard moments. I had to, play several levels multiple times, but overall, it kind of came and went. There was a lot. I felt like there was more moments in time in this one where there wasn't really a lot going on, which is kind of, I feel like they were maybe going maybe for a little atmosphere or something, but I feel like the first one had a lot more constant action. This one has branching paths. In fact, I think there might be some levels. It might take you to totally different levels, possibly.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure. I know that there are definitely paths within the level. Like there's this underground cave level where I was having trouble with one path and found another path that was a lot easier. That level is also really interesting. I'll be interested to see it when we get to it on the stream because it's got these this wavy water pattern that is unlike anything I've seen on like PlayStation, for example.
Really?
Yeah, it's a unique effect, and I'm curious how they do it.
We should really have you stream Ordo sometime.
Yeah.
Because you have it. I'm pretty sure that I bought it for you at one point. It was so cheap for a while.
Basically all I really need to do is I don't have my. In fact, I might actually do it tomorrow. I need to get my component audio finished hooking up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, once I do that, I'm pretty ready to stream any of my component systems. I'm routing the components audio through the Extron box, and I was in the middle of connecting the Phoenix to RCA plugs and. Didn't quite finish because it was really a pain, and so I need to actually take the CRTs down and get behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really difficult to plug things in the way I have it.
That first level it's pretty short, and I love that it starts out with you're on the ground.
Yeah. That just kind of it makes it feel really different. I think the
a great build-up, to eventually flying, I think especially you'll like Ordo. He has, kind of a really cool nod to that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, the dragon, kind of evolves over the course of the game, if I remember right.
Right. A lot of people in the video said, Panzer Dragoon 1 came out on the Xbox, and actually it's unlockable in Ordo, but it's a port of the PC version.
Another sort of funny criticism I thought was people talking about things that we quote unquote forgot for the ports and comparisons part. It's like
that was on the chopping block at one point. I was just not gonna do it.
I'm glad you did, because I thought it turned out really well. For one, it would have been impossible to look at all of them. If you think the point of that segment is let's look at every single Saturn game that got on another system, then that is not the point.
And we don't even own. The one I remember seeing is an input. Sonic R in there, and I don't have Sonic Gems collection, I'm sorry, I just don't.
Which was that the second GameCube collection?
Yes, it has like Sonic CD on it and stuff.
Okay, I had the first GameCube collection a long time ago.
Oh, you think that's great? You think you're gonna fly, and then you don't quite make it.
It's like so cool, though. Like, I mean, even though it's just like a flat field, like it's so cool that like that expanse is just out there in front of you.
Yeah,
and then you like land in it. You know, it's like it's it, like at the time, this must have felt just like so expansive. Like it's cool. Like I feel like they were trying to do more with.
I mean, even though you like the first one better, like the scale of this one just like blows the first one out of the water.
Oh yeah, like I feel like they're trying to tell more of a story through the levels and stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas the first one is more of an action game. Like this one, like it feels like the developers like really put a lot of themselves into this. I mean, not that the first one doesn't feel that way, but this one, like, it, I don't know if it makes sense to say, I don't know, somehow feels more personal. I don't know.
I could understand that. I actually own the first one. I need to buy it. Like, I should buy that after the stream, too.
At the very least, get the Japanese version.
Yeah, you know,
But the American version's still not, like, out of reach expensive. I mean, I got it when it was like $40 a few years ago. I don't think it's gotten more than maybe 15 from there.
You know, I don't even I don't have this one box. I just have a loose disc, and I made my own box.
Really? I didn't know you had any loose Saturn games.
It was my friend Chris's.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, you know, I can't say no to it. I can't, especially for this game, you know. Especially since it's like $70-$80 now.
Yeah, I think I paid. But I wonder if I could. Five.
Will you look on eBay really quick and see if there's just like a case only for this, like a case and manual? Like, I wonder if that's even something anybody would even sell.
I mean, sometimes those things come up, but not that often. Oh, complete with survey card. You should just get the Japanese versions. They're cheap.
And put this in that case. Along with what is the Japanese version of them at?
Japanese version of which one?
Of both of them.
Two looks like 16-22.
Oh, not bad.
You gotta be careful when you're looking for Saturn cases, because sometimes it's like actually a DVD case,
right,
that they're selling, and you have to like scroll down before they make it clear. I don't see case only. Let's see, Panzer Dragoon Japanese.
Oh, there's that part where it slowed down a whole bunch in the emulation. Yeah, it's still slowing down a little bit, but it's not like stopping for frames at a time.
Looks like the first Panzer Dragoon is about 20.
That's not bad either.
It's got way better artwork on the cover of the Japanese version.
You're making the thumbnail for this, and you're like, the box art is so bad.
It is. It's really bad. But the thing is, like, the Japanese
I got boom boxes on the bottom of this thing. They look like boom boxes.
The Japanese cover for 2 is not that great actually, but the artwork on the first game looks awesome on the Japanese version. It's like really good.
I got to spend a lot of time with Saga during the recording of the episode, like capturing footage.
How long did you play it?
I played it for maybe like 3 hours.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, it's very, very good. I think that you would like it too. Like, it's so cool. It's so interesting the way they take like the style of the series and like translate it into like a turn-based game. It, like, it's sometimes it feels like it's like you can move like into different positions, which is kind of is another thing that is kind of brought into Orta a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah, the way you, like during boss battles, you can like speed up or slow down to like change your proximity to bosses. Like you can fly up beside of them. Like if right now, like if I could just like fly up next,
dash up to them.
Yes, and or you know you'll go move to the side of it, or you can move in front of it, so you're shooting backwards at it. So Ordos, it's pretty cool the way it kind of brings everything together.
Yeah, I mean, I've never really known what to expect of Saga. Like, I've never really watched much of it. Like, I've seen what you've put in the video, but I don't know. I've always, like, been suspicious that it's probably not as good as the price it commands.
I think you might be surprised, actually. The music is very good, too. Man, I didn't realize I was that close to dying. That's why I used my attack there. You know, yeah. So let's see here. Technical points. Oh, look at my dragon's evolving.
What? Dragon is evolving.
Yeah. But yeah. It's a very good game. I hope it refills my health. Sometimes there, it's like really moving at 60 frames per second. Like that looks like it's moving at 60.
Well, okay. So I asked John Lineman about it.
About this game?
Yes. Like, because I said like it looked very interesting technically.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I forget whether it's backgrounds or sprites or foreground elements or some parts of the game operate at 60 frames and other parts operate at 30 frames. So it kind of plays a trick on your mind and it looks smoother than it really is.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like 30 right here, but there was times in the last shot where it
like wasn't it like the console versions of Diablo 3, like I think the backgrounds moved at 30 frames per second, but characters operate at 30 frames.
Oh, I have no idea.
I think some games like play tricks like that. It's something. I forget exactly which way it was, but yeah, I think certain elements of this game do work at 60 frames, sort of to create an illusion of smoothness. So yeah, it's very cool. Like this widescreen mode is just great, I think.
Yeah, did you play it like this?
Yeah. You're playing on the PVM with the widescreen, I assume.
Yeah.
Well,
letterbox is it? You know, yeah, letterbox is on here.
Well, on the CRT, but still, right. Like you've still got like, you know, it compresses the vertical so it looks like sharper.
Right.
But, you know, the downside to widescreen on a PVM is you've got those like red, green, and blue lines above the image. I don't think there's anything you can do about that.
Yeah, you can't crop
it. I don't know why that happens.
I don't know. You might be able to crop them actually in the service menu somehow.
Probably not worth it though.
Yeah. I mean, on real programs, that's generally where the information of the where the captioning is.
Like
by line 21 is where it usually is. Speaking of captioning, I gotta get the subtitles done for Saturn. I contacted the person to do it. We actually gotten specific requests for subtitles.
No, this big worm thing I think gave me some trouble the first time I tried this level. So it reminds me of the big worm thing, and I think it's the second level of the first game, and I never killed it before it went away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So if you continue, do you play the whole level over again, or do you? Is there checkpoints?
There's no checkpoints in the levels.
Okay. as far as I know, this game is compatible with a 3D controller as well. The Saturn.
Oh, it actually utilizes it?
As far as I know, yeah.
I've never used one.
I don't think it's that great. it's very much a predecessor to the Dreamcast controller.
Is the stick not very good?
The stick is interesting. You know, it's more of a nub than a stick.
Ah.
It's cool, but it's I'm not really a fan. I don't love the Dreamcast controller either.
Yeah, it's not a great controller.
In fact, I would say that the Dreamcast controller is one of my least favorite controllers of all time. Especially since it's like coming after the Saturn controller, which is one of the best.
I used to really like it, like in the Dreamcast day. Like I didn't own a Dreamcast back then, but I had a lot of friends who did, and I liked it. Other than the fact that I was just like bewildered by why it had so few buttons, like it just seemed like a really odd choice.
Yeah.
When its competitors all had more buttons. But I liked the stick a lot, actually. And now I don't think the stick is that good, but I used to really like the Dreamcast stick. The D-pad gives me a little trouble on the Dreamcast, and I can't really explain why, but sometimes I like end up hitting the wrong direction.
Really? I mean, I think the D-pad is probably one of the better things about it.
I mean, it looks good, but like I haven't used the D-pad a ton outside of like Grandia 2, but like just navigating menus, but I remembered it just feeling fiddly in the menus in that game.
Man. Music is rather good in this, though. It's just like the soundtrack of this series is so unique. But I mean, Orta has a great soundtrack. I mean, when we do the Xbox episode, you definitely have to use the Gigantic Fleet track.
I think you've linked me to that before.
Such a good song. Like, definitely up there with one of my favorite game soundtracks or game songs of all time, for sure. Interesting. So am I not fighting the worm this time? Or am I fighting this thing?
Did you take a different path?
Yeah, I'm like running again.
Oh. I don't think I fought this thing. I wonder if you'll end up going to a different level next.
Maybe. Like, that's great. Like, what an awesome
thing to do. Yeah, this game is absolutely made with, like, replaying in mind.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, back when it was new would have felt more relevant than it does now, because I'm just like, I just want to beat it, you know?
Yeah.
But back then, you know, when it was like, you know, the one game you were buying for a while, then, you know, that's fantastic replay value.
Yeah. And it's really stupid that I have not beaten this game, considering that rail shooters are arguably my favorite genre.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Is this the farthest you've played into it before?
Probably, yeah.
Like, you've only really played the first level?
Die again. I played the first two.
Well, this is the second level, isn't it?
This is episode 3.
Oh, okay.
The first episode didn't have a boss.
Ah.
I'm just getting used to it. This thing has taken me quite a few hits. Oh, I'm flying again for the boss. I wonder if the boss is the same then.
Frank Strasser says their music reminds him of Shinobi, kind of, which made me think of that cool Shinobi 3 shot that you did in the video.
Everyone said, you know, how many times did it take you to get that CD to stop right? And to that, I say it was like way harder to get this reflection in the CD. I did that like 3 different times at different angles and in different rooms. It's pretty silly, the way that, like, how many times I.
But it's cool though, because you use like a programmable, use like a programmable.
I died the same place that I died before, on the same attack.
I remember having a little trouble with this level. It took me a couple times.
Yeah. I see.
But yeah, the CD you used on your GH5, which is a feature that I don't think I have on my GH4, a programmable rack focus.
Right. Yeah, you can move it into positions, especially if it's helpful if you're, you know, if you're not moving the camera around.
Mm-hmm.
And you can time it to move in between the focus points, or you can touch up to 3 different focus points.
That's cool.
That you have preset, and it's pretty cool. Like, it really helped for that shot, because I was able to, like, you know, get one that was unfocused and one that was focused. And,
have you used it on any other shots?
I think I used the place where I kind of learned how to use it was on the shot of the buttons on the model 2, just kind of show that there's kind of a rack focus between, like, the reset and the power button.
The retro godfather is saying use your berserk attack on the boss, which is something that I forgot. I think it's the blue meter on the bottom.
Yeah, I did before. I did.
Okay.
No, the green meter is the berserk.
Oh, okay.
I just got to get there with enough.
I think it fills fairly quickly, so you might want to use it like midway in the level on one of the tougher spots.
Yeah, that might be a good idea.
And then you get to the boss with more health.
Yeah.
But yeah, about making the spinning disc stop. You know, I did a similar thing in the PS1 episode. I think it's a Final Fantasy VII disc, and it just stops spinning like perfectly straight to the camera. And I'm thinking, like, this is going, like, I wasn't necessarily intending for it to be perfectly straight. I just wanted a good-looking shot, whatever it was. And I thought, oh, this is going to take, like, a million tries to get anything good. And I got that, like, dead on perfect, like, my first try.
There was a lot of shots in this episode I definitely felt like I intentionally did the kind of harken back to the PlayStation episode.
Oh yeah.
But like the you know, like, you have the two systems side by side at an angle. Like, I did that, but I did it in reverse, because, you know, instead of mentioning the Saturn, you're mentioning the PlayStation.
Right.
And also, like, that was like when I was like really having a hard time getting inspired, so I was like, I'll just see where I can look at more interesting shots than what I'm coming up with.
Well, you know, the PlayStation episode was the first episode with the GH4.
Yeah. And this was my first full episode with a GH5.
Yeah.
I mean, I used it.
What was the previous one that you... Night Trap is kind of...
But that
everything
is not...
that you shot was GH5, but
right.
Most of that episode was my GH4. But you didn't use your old Canon app.
That's true. I didn't. Well, did I? I don't know.
Oh, you got here with a lot more health.
Yeah. I'm definitely doing a little bit better this time. Let's see if I can survive, though.
This boss has pretty cool animation.
Yeah. Run on top of the.
Yeah, you really got to avoid attacks or shoot down shots and stuff in these games, because you can get in a bad spot pretty quickly if you mess up.
Right, and you know the Orta has a thing where you change between 3 different forms of dragon. Like, there's a giant one, there's a mid-sized one, and a little one. And the little one is generally used to fire the shoot down the incoming enemy shots. Because it has a really big reticle. It has no homing shots, but it has a really big reticle that will automatically just shoot at... Whoa! get them.
You got it. You got it.
I don't know. Oh, I did get him.
Whew.
He's dead.
He's dead.
Whoa, he's going nuts.
Yeah, you saw. I think you sometimes have to be careful after you beat bosses sometimes.
I did it. But yeah, Orta has some stuff like that. But it makes it really easy to shoot down the enemy shots because it just automatically locks on to which ones are coming at you.
So how do you change forms? I mean, you just, it's just change a them instantly? Button.
Yeah.
And it's like really quick?
Yeah, and you can power up each form. Each form has like levels you can of attacks.
Oh, okay.
So Ordis, it's a very, very good game.
I would, I mean, say it's your favorite Xbox game,
yes,
right?
Far and away. Far and away. With Halo 1, a very close second. I guess far and away and close is, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Here's the level with... Look at this, like, wavy stuff on the water.
Yeah.
Like, look... Like, I've never seen... I don't see anything like that on PlayStation, so... I'm just curious what the Saturn does to pull it off. I wonder if that's, like, just some sort of sprite manipulation effect that it's got... For its, you know,
that'd be a good question for John. He'd probably tell you all about it.
I'm sure he could tell you about it, like, without looking anything up.
Yeah, he's probably thought about it. This was a game that I'm running again. I like that you switch back and forth between the running so often. I wasn't expecting that. This was a game that you had mentioned, you know, when we talk about the 480i, 240p switching, you specifically mentioned Panzer Dragoon, but you didn't say 2, because actually 1 doesn't have a 480i title
screen. Oh, did you cut that part out of the menu?
I did, because I just really wanted to use the Castlevania example.
Oh,
I felt
okay,
like...
okay. Well, the reason so Panzer Dragoon does not have a 480i menu?
No.
Just I could have sworn it did.
I thought it did too, but it does not.
Huh.
Yeah,
I mean, I would have said too, but yeah, Castlevania is a better example because it's got like switches during gameplay, which is actually, I mean, you were having a hard time finding examples.
Yeah, because there's a lot of games that just have a title screen, and I use Dead or Alive because that was one that was. You know, it has some fairly frequent switching, but
the Dead or Alive gameplay is at 480i, but the menus are 240p. Is that correct?
The menus only like the versus screen and the character select. It's same thing with Virtua Fighter, but the loading sequence is long enough in there to like not really make a difference. So that by the time like the battles start, you're it's already synced back again.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the regarding the turning sync mode to off,
right.
Does that also get around resolution switches, or is it just that like diehard arcade style drop?
Just like the drop, like you can choose like sync levels of like I think it's 3, 10, and 100, and I think those are like milliseconds or frames or something like that, because it. Doesn't help when there's like an actual resolution change.
Okay. See, I thought originally when you were like streaming Die Hard Arcade several months ago and having issues, I thought it was changing to 480i
for like a split second
in the black screen for
right.
no reason.
Well, we both did. We didn't know what was going on.
Right. Well, and so it's just some sort of. Sync interruption.
Yes.
And
it's a that's fairly normal for a lot of Saturn games.
Right. So that more so than the 480i 240p thing, that's the more serious issue with Saturn.
Yes, absolutely. And the sync mode gets around that though.
What are some other examples of games that do that?
Well, a lot of like shooters and stuff like that. Like most games, I feel like it happens like in between. Like a opening FMV, and like the gameplay,
You mean most games on the system?
Yeah, it was. It happens a lot. You know, Hyperduel does it. I mean, I came across the issue quite a bit, but the only times it really affected the gameplay, like, really severely, I felt, was, like, with Die Hard. Because it happens in between, like, every single screen. And that's not really, like, that's an issue that I hadn't really seen talked about.
I want to say this boss wasn't too bad, but he did kill me at least once. There's like a lot of times when you can't really hurt him.
Yeah, I just wasted my stuff.
Yeah, you kind of got to figure out like when the good time to use that is. I want to say it wasn't too hard to avoid getting hurt by him, but it takes a while.
Yeah. How many levels are in this? I mean, just like to beat the game.
I don't quite remember. I want to say both games are like 6 or 7 episodes, maybe. And then I think the final boss is its own episode, so that's either the 7th or the one after the 7th.
Okay. And then shooting that tail at me. I thought he was going to hit me with it. But this is like the first game I've like really played since finishing the episode. I know it's like, oh, you know, I was like excited to like play some stuff, but it's just like had some stuff going on. I have like had no chance to really play a lot of games at all.
Well, you popped in Final Fantasy XII.
That's right.
A little bit.
Which you finished that same.
I did. I finished that. I want to say I think it was like. Finish up on Friday at some point.
Whoa.
Yeah, like that was the first time I've replayed an RPG in like a long time. I was thinking it was like it'd probably been like
what?
Hmm?
Hang on, he's gonna fly at me again. Come on.
Whoa!
He's like close to being dead, and I. Holy mackerel. Come on. Got him.
Whew, nice job. Be careful. I don't know if he does. I don't remember if he does anything else. Whew. Good job.
You gotta be mobile. You gotta. The old space area.
I did not beat him on my first try, but he wasn't too bad. Overall. He was a pretty cool boss, I thought.
Yeah. Oh, he's behind me. He's gonna do something. He's still on the. Oh, jeez. Okay.
this game really like plays with you. I mean, the first game did too to some extent, like with the boss deaths.
Yeah.
I love the water effect though. Like it's like not realistic looking at all, but it just looks cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's like next generation right there. You know, that's like something you'd see and be like, oh, this is. You won't see that on a 16-bit game. I mean, the entire game in general, I guess.
Yeah.
I just realized, like, I'm, like, peeking out the corner of the window here. Let me move me over a little bit.
I'm a little far over, too.
There we go. I'll fix that up. RGB next episode is going to be... I mean, the next 200 level is going to be PS2.
PS2? Yep. Yeah.
A lot of people saying like, "Whoa, PS2, do PS2, please."
That's we keep getting to tell people, "Well, you're in luck."
Yeah. In terms of like other episodes, I mean, I have a number of different things.
You've been juggling a lot of different ones in your head. Like you're not sure which you're going to do exactly, but
yeah, I mean.
I'm working on.
I kind of came to the realization that the last game-based episode I did was a year ago, nearly. Next month it'll be a year ago.
Yeah. If you've got time, you could do Phantasy Star 3.
That's what I want to do.
Well, you should think about
it. I think it's time for me to do Phantasy Star 3.
I've got like two or three game-based episodes that I like really want to do like soon, but I don't know when exactly I'm going to do them, but like I feel like they wouldn't take that long to do. But right now I'm working on an episode about soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's like a significant chunk of it is done. I just haven't been, I've kind of been slagging off on editing in part because I've been busy with work stuff, but also because it's like, I know that we're pretty good for a while. Like, you know, cause I knew you were releasing Saturn and we're releasing Night Trap very soon. And, you know, so, but I mean, I think I could get it once I buckle down and start working on it. I don't think it's going to take me that long.
Yeah. And I have a little bit of, I need to shoot for it too. I still gotta write it too. Hopefully I can do it this week. Hopefully it's not an issue. But Phantasy Star, I want to do an episode. There's a lot of people saying like, oh, you know, you didn't talk about the SD card loader on this episode. I think a lot of people, I think, have started to feel that the scope of the RGB series is like maybe talking about everything.
Yeah, about the system.
Yeah, I mean, there is a discussion beforehand with a viewer, like talking about, you know, can you talk about how apparently new versions of the Action Replay have a slightly larger PCB and stretch the pins? It's like, I don't really have the tools to be able to measure that anyways, but maybe I can touch on that little bit, and I'm gonna do an episode on the SD card mod specifically. That's why I didn't really talk about it at all.
What was I gonna say? There was a comment, you know, talking about people thinking the scope is like everything. There was a comment today on the Master System video. Saying like is thorough as you guys usually are, I'm surprised you didn't mention about the, you know, FM sound on the Japanese version, blah blah. Which I don't remember if it was mentioned or not, but like, I mean, that's like what, an 8-minute episode?
Yeah, I mean, like, really, like
it was the first 200 series, like even NES. Like I feel like I could go on about NES probably like. That'd probably be like a 45-minute episode now, but it's like a 13-minute episode,
right?
Because it was just at that time we were thorough, but somehow it just didn't end up. The videos did not end up being as long, and there's definitely a lot of, I guess, value added to the RGB episodes now. But still, if something strays too far from video quality, then, you know, it's likely to get cut. Like, the only thing is, like, in cases where, like, I kind of like to address, like, which console should I buy? Like, to some extent, like, you know, well, you know, maybe it doesn't matter with video quality, but, you know, here's a reason to get this system or to consider this mod or cable or something.
Right. I think that once we probably go far enough into the series or we've covered enough things that, like, there's a chance that we might revisit some of the really early ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Master System, I could see us revisiting it.
Absolutely.
Man, I feel like I can just kill this thing. I should kill this thing before anything else.
I remember finding a similar thing. I feel like I didn't do this level. I could be wrong, but I was in more of like a snow-looking level.
Well, this has snow.
Yeah, but I feel like the ground looked different. I mean, I don't know. It might have been the same level. It's just not what I remember, though. there was definitely a thing where it might have been this level. But there was definitely a thing where I ran into like a boss-like thing early on, and it just seemed to just wreck me. But then I figured out like how to take it down quickly enough to where it wasn't like a huge nuisance anymore. Maybe this was the level. I don't know. Like looking at it now, like I feel like the it looks like water on the ground. But I definitely, my memory was it being like a, more like a snowfield, but
I have no idea where I was getting hit from with that stuff. That happened last time too. So what else am I working on? Phantasy Star, like I really want to do Phantasy Star. But I also have, like, a couple of other ideas that I can see me doing, too. We're really going to do our best to, like, not have long gaps between episodes anymore.
Yeah. I mean, this year we've just been way too spread out this year. And, I mean, I think it's hurt us to some extent.
Yes.
Like, our subs up could have been a lot quicker. You know, I mean, you can just see what, you know, in our analytics, what... We're just releasing one significant episode, you know, has put us back to where we like to see.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just holding back Night Trap is just, it's put us in the wrong frame of mind, and we've been like almost relying on it too much, I think. But yes. it's just so hard to move past it, though, because it's like, we're so excited about it.
Yeah. Man. You gotta be really, really accurate with this stuff here. The thing is, you can't lock on, so you...
Does anyone have any, you know, I feel like there was, like, maybe one or two weird things that may have come up in the past several months that people mentioned. I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't think of that. I should probably include that in the PS2 episode. Any particular things that people think I might not be on my mind that you would like to see in the PS2 episode?
You already have quite a few ideas of stuff to talk about. I mean, I think it's gonna be fairly sizable.
Yeah, obviously Sync on Green will be in it for sure. GS mode selector. Clarify exactly what you mean on that. Are you talking about like forcing 480p? That's actually something I've not experimented with yet, but obviously I will before the episode, forcing 480p.
Like, okay, it was like one more hit and I was like gonna have to go back to the beginning again. Oh, interesting. We should talk about like the you can force stuff through like the mod chip. I have the mod chip in there, and you can like with OPL you can force widescreen for certain games, stuff like that. So we can do that too.
If you unplug a PS2 Slim while it's running and store it, the ribbon cable connecting to the laser. The ribbon cable connecting to the laser will come loose and create a circular scratch on discs when played.
Oh, this is awesome. I'm flying along the ship here.
Oh, yeah, this level.
Makes me think of the gigantic fleet, kind of. I'm a big sucker for, like, for on rail games when you fight, like, a big... In a big battle. Yes. I mean, Space Armada is my favorite Star Fox level. Jeez. You know, this is, seems like pretty cool, too. Very reminiscent of that. But, you know, that's why I like Gigantic Fleet as well. I'm going to die so quick here.
Oh, yeah. Scott Davis gave me some information on...
He's the one loaning you the PS3, correct?
Yes, he's loaning a launch PS3, which will be great for showing the hardware backwards compatibility. And showing any differences. I've got myself a software backwards compatible PS3.
Hopefully everything anymore, continues to work throughout the entire episode.
Yeah.
I think that's like the number one thing to be afraid of.
Leon X 3 says, you know, how about whether to play PS2 on LCD or CRT? And that, I think, is actually kind of going to be the core of the episode, to tell the truth. Because I feel like PS2 has a look on a CRT that almost... lends itself to that more, arguably more so than any other system. I'm going to be getting into that a lot. I feel like, you know, certainly I don't think there's anything wrong with playing PS2 on an HDTV, as that is typically what I do. But you have to understand what to expect. You know, temper your expectations with the reality of what it takes to scale it and deinterlace it. But I think you will find that there is a particular quality to the way that PS2 games are rendered on a CRT that just kind of can't be replicated. You know, I mean, I know people, you know, a lot of scanline purists and stuff like that for 240p systems. You know, and for me, I think that stuff is neat, but I can take it or leave it. But PS2, you know, I think I've said before that during the PS2's day, I played very little on a proper CRT, because I kind of went from, you know, PS2 came out my, let me think. I guess technically it came out my junior year in high school, but I guess I got it the summer before my senior year. And so I had a crappy RCA TV with no video inputs. Ironic, it was an RCA TV with no RCA inputs. And, you know, the only way I could do it was routing composite cables through my VCR. That was how I hooked up a number of systems. And, you know, so I didn't have a great TV, you know, so I didn't, you know, have a particular appreciation for how the PS2 rendered, other than, you know, it looked, you know, graphics looked pretty nice. But when I went to college, I bought this scaler. I didn't think of it at the time as a scaler, but I mean, that's what it was.
Are you going to include this scaler in the episode? You gotta.
I mean, maybe. I've thought about including it in something at some point, but never got around to it. I mean, I feel like that might be a little bit of fluff, but I mean, it is part of my PS2 story, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, it took S-Video and Composite, and you could play it on your computer monitor. It had VGA output, and I feel like it must have deinterlaced, because I don't remember combing artifacts and stuff like that. And I remember, you know, at the time I thought it looked amazing, because I was going from this crappy TV. So I kind of, like, skipped, like I most of the PS2 generation was in college for me when I was using that box. So I didn't really develop this appreciation for, you know, the PS2 is a system that really embraces 480i. Whereas I feel like its competing consoles, like, really wanted to be 480p. You know, right. Even though you most people couldn't really hook up to that at the time. But the PS2 is like, look, your TV's 480i, but let's make this 480i thing work. And it's actually surprisingly successful at that. And that's something I've only really come to appreciate much more recently.
You might be able to have like a cool, hopefully a little cool cameo for that, for this episode too.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. we like to have some cameos in RGB episodes. A lot of talk in the Saturn episode about Clint from Lazy Game Reviews.
Yeah, it's cool.
In here, like, people are like, I almost fell out of my seat.
Yeah,
like we've had cameos before, but not quite such a reaction as to Clint being there. I think people maybe feel like he's like on another level or something. But we got him on the stream.
Yeah, hopefully have him again sometime soon. I gotta talk to him about that. That'd be cool to have him again. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were very surprised. I just wanted somebody who he went above and beyond for what I was really asking him for. I was like, oh, will you just like give me like a voiceover or something? And he's like, I'm like, would you do it on camera? And he's like, yeah, sure. And he like had it within like pretty quick, like by the end of the day. You know, it's just a little silly something, you know. It's like that wasn't even something I even knew about. But Steve from HD Retrovision was like, you know that like the schematics online were wrong for a long time and all these cables were incorrect. So it's kind of a cool thing to share, I think.
Yeah. Panzer Dragoon behind him.
What?
Yeah. I love how he had Panzer Dragoon on the screen behind him.
Yeah. But he, Steve was telling me, like, he was the one who alerted everybody that the schematics were wrong and they were fixed in 2015. Because of Steve, which is kind of a cool thing. I don't know how they were wrong in the first place. Just like one of those things that was like probably a mess up and then it just got perpetuated for so long.
Yeah, I mean, like I know that I've got a crappy pair of Xbox component cables that have reverse audio pins.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I wonder if mine are reverse too.
But you've got official hooked up now.
Yeah, and so do you.
Yep.
I'm doing a little bit better this time. I almost had the boss, I think.
Yeah, it's honestly stunning the difference between
official and unofficial.
Official and unofficial component cables. You know what's funny is I remember this comment on the Grab by the Ghoulies video, which is like, I guess really like the first game I played on my Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, captured it and all. And I just remember way back this comment being like, this is like the best game capture I've ever seen.
It does look really good, though.
What?
It does look really good in that episode. You know, it looks almost HD.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, obviously, I wasn't really doing anything in particular for that episode. But I mean, it's, you know, it's just a 480p game.
Mm-hmm.
But I always think back to that comment though. Once I discovered how much better the official component cables are, because when I got Jade Empire.
That's when you did like the test of it.
Yeah, and I noticed that the text had like this weird rainbow effect around it, and I was like, is that just like the style of it? And I was like, I don't know, maybe something's wrong with my cable. And so when you told me about the component cables and you managed to snag some for me, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do a side-by-side. And it is a stunning difference. It fixes the rainbow text problem. It makes everything look better. I mean, it's like, it's almost like for, like...
Oh, I don't understand, like, what I'm getting hit by.
It's like almost like composite quality, like some composite issues, but 480p. It's so weird.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's cool, though. It's like when we come across these examples, because then we know that we can use them in the future. Like, oh, that's something I kind of struggled with the Saturn is, like, since, you know, I didn't have these a lot of, like, late game saves in a lot of these games, so I didn't really know, like good examples of certain things.
Yeah.
And that could be some of the most challenging parts.
Yeah, I think an Xbox, original Xbox episode is going to be fun. I don't know how ready we are to make an Xbox episode.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know anything about RGB on Xbox.
Yeah, I don't really either. I mean, we have to get a cable, obviously, but we never really...
I don't know anything about that. I don't know. I know literally nothing about that. Like, I guess that's like the big gap in our knowledge.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Like the thing I'm looking most forward to about that episode is just showing the difference between, you know, crappy cables and official cables. Like, because it's really stunning, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you should get the real cables if you ever see them anywhere. Just saying.
Yeah, anyone if you see the real cables. Like, and I guess there's also that box, which thanks Scott Davis sent me a set of that as well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah. Right, that's right. He sent you one too, because I had recently found one at a local pawn shop that I got. It was in a big box of parts, but I haven't actually hooked it up and tried to use it, so it might not work.
Yeah, there was a lot of comments on the... on our panel video about the question about Xbox being this green screen,
right?
And some people were like, well, that's just like a color space issue, like, you know, he needed to switch RGB to YPVPR, but
usually it's like purple
or pink or something.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
But it could be that. Here's what I think. The second guy that talked about that, I think that was his issue. Because he was talking about being a green screen, he was talking about playing on his PVM. But the first guy was talking about, I think, playing on HGTV, and he said that the boot up screen was fine, but once you got into the game, it was green. And I can't imagine. I mean, unless he like had like an Xbox from like another region or something, or maybe he had like some sort of like weird video mode set if he had like a homebrew installed.
Mm-hmm.
But I there was something funny about the, I mean, because of the fact that it was only. The first guy, I think, definitely had an interesting issue. The second guy, I think it was just a PVM setting. And you know, at the time, like, I was like, oh, wow, this guy's having the same issue. But then when I listened to it after the fact, I'm like, oh, I think it might actually be a different issue.
Yeah. But we'll see. That'll be next year sometime, probably. Just thinking about it in terms of, like, years. I have no idea what my next... It's either going to be Game Gear or PC Engine, probably.
Oh, Kevin in the chat is talking about the issue with some Xbox systems not playing 480p correctly in certain games.
And you have one that has that issue.
I do, and I guess like one workaround for playing Orta in 480p is you... boot up the original Panzer Dragoon and then back out. But you have to, first of all, have it unlocked, and second of all, have to, like, memorize the path to boot up the original game and then back out. But I think there are also solutions around it using Homebrew, which, you know, since I've installed that on my Xbox, I need to actually look into that. If I'm not mistaken, I've heard that those late generation systems, mine has a manufacturing date of January 2005, so less than a year before the 360 came out. You did it.
I did it.
I've heard, I don't know how true, but I've heard those are reliable, good and reliable systems. So I'm actually kind of
glad. They have the right capacitor. You know, I had to break the capacitor off mine.
Right, I don't have to break the capacitor off. It still forgets the time and date, but if I'm not mistaken...
Oh, last episode. It just flat out tells you last episode.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just the boss.
That would make sense.
It was the same way in the first game.
Yeah, it's like that in Horda, too.
But, yeah, stuff.
I might beat this on the early side.
Oh, yeah. I do remember it not taking me especially long.
I feel like... Does he have one life bar, or is there multiple forms?
I think there's two forms. I think it's two life bars. It might just be one, though, and he changes form. I forget. There's definitely more than one form. Have the questions for what game is this been a lot of the ones you expected?
No. So I mean, the one that's been asked the most is the Purika Daisakuse.
Is that the, like, rollerblade girl game?
Yep, that's been the one that's most Purika, something like that.
That's a surefire way to get lots of questions is put a cute anime girl from some semi-obscure game. That will always, it doesn't even have to be semi-obscure necessarily, that will always, people will always be like, oh, I want to know what game this is.
The hardest part is there's, like, so many games in the episode that are so expensive. I expected Hyperduel to get asked, like, what is this game, a lot, because I wanted to be like, well, you know, it's called Hyperduel. It's $600.
It's really awesome, though.
Yeah, man, that's like, I would love to have that game. Awesome game. One that I was not familiar of. Jeez, you gotta really be in a good position there. Oh, jeez. Whatever, you know, it's just the last boss.
What? It's just the last boss.
Yeah.
I mean, with Infinite Continues games, it's just a matter of time.
Right. And, like, whoa.
What specifically fills the
energy meter? Just, I think, just attacking the enemy, probably.
Because I noticed at one point it filled, like, extra fast.
Yeah. I don't know. I was going to say something. I was going to say something before the discussion about what games were which, but I forgot what it was.
There was one about three dirty dwarves.
Yeah. Not a great game, I don't think.
it has an interesting look to it, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's very...
It's Appaloosa Interactive who made the PlayStation Contra games. Or at least one of them. I think both of them, though, but I'm not positive. The Contra Adventure.
Yeah. I just want to see if there's going to be another form. That attack, man. When he flies up to you.
About the bad clock capacitor. It's a clock capacitor, right? On the Xbox?
Yes.
The thing about that on the late models, what I've heard is not only do you not need to tear it out on the late models, but if you do tear it out, you actually have to replace it.
Right.
Whereas on other systems, the system's totally fine without it. Now mine forgets the time still, which I mean,
wait, that's fine though.
I guess. I mean, I don't know exactly how it remembers the time, and I mean, I just hope that it's not actually a bad capacitor. I mean, I assume that all systems that don't play Panzer Dragoon Order and 480p, I'm just making an assumption, are fine with the capacitor.
Let's see if I can get him. He's going to do this. When he does that really heavy attack, I just like went into my berserk mode. I know it's not the way to get him. I know how to get him. He's got to dodge it. Oh, whatever. I'm just curious to see if he's got to have another life bar. It's got to be another life bar. This is like so much like the last boss in Horda.
I just can't quite remember.
Well, he hasn't changed forms.
I thought he had another form, but maybe it's just that he has like a lot of different like attack patterns.
I guess we'll find out. You gonna do it again? Oh, I thought he's trying to ram me. Oof. He's doing something crazy. Shooting big. He's breaking apart, I think. Oh, but I died. There's like another form to him. Like, I just want to. We'll find out. Whatever.
Oh, man. You had like almost half health and you just.
Yeah.
Wrecked you. And, wow, one shot. You had I saw it on your Skype feed, and I reviewed it again. There, yeah. I mean, you had like a third of your health left, and that last ditch shot just got you good.
I'm gonna play it safe this time. I'm kind of getting a feeling for him now. I have this thing with last bosses on the stream where takes me a long time to beat the last boss. You ever notice that? Like it's always the last boss that gets me.
Well, I mean, I think this one took me several tries for sure. But still, it's a quicker beat than you think.
Yeah.
I mean, especially because I assumed it had limited continues like the first game. And Orta, like, saves every level, right?
Right.
It's kind of, it's like Sin and Punishment 2, I assume. Kinda.
Man, how do I dodge that? There we go. Too bad I have no health left.
Oh, I do remember that being weird.
For the record, yeah. I really don't know what's going on in the story.
I remember looking up the story, like, after I finished it. Like, I think you're like a boy from some village, and you've got these dragon things, and then like dragons born with a certain mark or a certain color or something, like they have to be killed, and your dragon is born with that mark, but you hide it and protect it from getting killed. That's about all I know. I don't really know what's going on in the world per se.
Yeah. I'm gonna do it again.
Like it's such a cool world, but it is not clearly conveyed in these games. So I mean, that would definitely be something worth playing Saga for, I assume you get a better taste of what is going on in this world.
Yeah, I wish I could find a way for you to like definitely play Saga, because I think that you'd be into it. And it's not even that long. I guess it's like
15 hours or something, isn't it?
Yeah. Surprisingly like short. Discs. I mean, and it's four discs. But the videos are pretty long in it, too, the FMVs.
Mm. Are they good? Like, I feel like the FMVs in these games aren't that good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're. It's a definite improvement, for sure. Definite improvement. So I'm going to do what I did before, and when he does that a tail attack that does a ton of damage, I'm just going to... That's when I'm going to just use my Berserk. Seems like a good time as any.
He's vulnerable at that time?
No, it's just... he's hard to dodge.
Oh, so Berserk, you're invincible?
Yeah.
Okay.
He does it like three times, I
think. Yeah.
Just seems like a good time to make yourself invincible. Oof. I wonder if you can like how many different evolutions you can have in this though. If there's like a lot of different versions of the dragon.
I think so. And I don't know if this is like the only final boss or if there can be another one, depending on how you play the game.
I mean, that's great. That's a ton of, that is a ton of replay value.
Yeah, remember back in the day that, you know, that was often like one of the main like categories in a review is replay value.
Yeah. We're up there with,
I feel like people don't talk about that a lot anymore. I mean, and heck, I'm I know now in my now that I'm in my 30s, I'm not looking for a lot of replay value in a game.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping to finish it.
Yeah, pretty much. And it helps, you know, when you, man, come on, get him. Well, his life bar is disappearing, but he's breaking apart. He crumbled. Is there going to be another form?
Maybe not.
Oh, maybe not.
Maybe not. I think it was. I guess it was just the one thing. I feel like there could be more on another difficulty level, or if you take the hardest path or something.
Yeah, here's the ending FMV. It's got to be. I mean, that's. I don't want to speak too soon. Seems like something might be coming out of the sky. We'll see what happens, though. But it, you know, I don't think that they would have an FMV if it wasn't the actual ending. Nope. It's getting pulled away. Oh, the dragon's going to fly full speed and into the... kill itself, right? Because the dragon only appears every once in a while. Like, every so many years, I thought that was, like, the... Or when it's, like, called upon. Or something.
I don't know. I don't know anything.
Oh, is that a flashback to the guy from the first one? To the first one, right? Is that what it was? Yeah, it's got to be.
This is a prequel, right?
I don't know. Because there's the dragon from the first one. Maybe. Look it up. See if it's a prequel.
I think it might be.
That was quite an adventure.
Yes, it is a prequel.
Oh, the blue dragon is a baby. Interesting. I did not know that. Well, why is this one? Why is the world in this game in widescreen? The world that would follow it.
It's a good question.
I still got some time. What am I going to play after this? I wonder.
Definitely not Die Hard Arcade, unfortunately.
I mean, I could. I could totally do it. I could just turn off the sync mode.
That's true.
I'll do that. You know what? Next time you're here, I think the Die Hard Arcade would be a great game to co-op.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, a game like that, like the stuttering action, probably isn't that big of a deal.
No, if you just turn off the... You mean the stuttering, like...
With the sync mode off.
No, you won't see it. Well, you mean the scrolling, like, yeah.
The scrolling's like that it would be, I mean, you could see it, but it probably won't be as obnoxious as like a side scroller.
No, absolutely not. It's not even that obnoxious anyways. It's more than worth the trade-off. You always gotta
just don't forget to get it back on next time you capture.
Right. Well, I always love the profiles.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll turn it off right now.
System programmer, Hitotoshi Wiz Takashita.
I don't know if I can do it. There it is.
All right. Well, you can mark that beat.
Yep. You'll see a flash here while it switches. Then when this is done, I will reset and choose Die Hard Arcade.
Oh, that's the...
What?
You're changing the Frame Meister sync mode. I was like, right. Why are you raising your arm up?
I'll have to turn off the widescreen then, mode that I had set. Back to 4-3. Auto.
Game Dave is here. Yep. Thought I'd wear the old Game Dave shirt today.
I put my Game Dave button that he gave out at Too Many Games. It's on my refrigerator.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Game Dave has a presence in this house. Nick, you did miss it. It's over.
It is a sad thing.
Yeah. It only took a little bit over an hour. But generally, you know, rail shooters are not that long.
No.
I mean, Sin and Punishment 2 is probably the longest one I've ever played.
Yeah, it's pretty long. Definitely takes a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it took me a couple of days for sure.
Great game. We talk about it every time. Every time it comes up. Maybe the best game on the Wii.
Yeah, man. Like, the only game on the Wii that really gives it any competition is Mario Galaxy.
Yeah. The first
one. That's like... Yeah, I prefer the first one.
Yeah, so do I.
I mean, I think a lot of people prefer the second one, but it just never... I like it, but the first one is... I don't know. It just feels like a more magical experience.
Is there any more of this? After all this, he is still with me. Okay, I'm going to just press the button. It's going to take me back to the... Is my dragon rank going to be general? That's pretty good.
But yeah, seriously, Sin and Punishment Star Successor is, like, at worst, the second best game on the Wii. And maybe the best. It is so good.
All right, one sec. I'll be right back.
That's a series that we've been meaning to do just a quick video on. We don't get as many questions as we used to, but we used to get a ton of questions asking what game is this, whether it was the first game or the second game. I actually just got one on the N64 anti-aliasing hack video. Asking what is this? It's Sin and Punishment.
Another good thing about the sync mode is that you can capture the 480i menu when it boots up, the menu, like the boot up screen completely without it having the resync. So if you just turn it on and off really quick.
Whoa, Goose, Adam Zay, or Goose Paws, or whatever we call you. don't be crapping on Mario 64 in my stream here. Not allowed in this house. But since you say you never play Galaxy because of your hatred of Mario 64, Galaxy is a very different game. How it plays, how it controls. Mario moves a lot slower, or maybe not a lot slower, but his control is less loose, which that was one of the things is just that loose and free feel that Mario 64 has. I just love. things are like a little more precise and grounded in Galaxy. Actually, the controls in 3D World are... the controls in 3D World are almost the feel with that game in Galaxy is almost identical. It's just that in Galaxy, the levels are much more wild, and you know, you can walk upside down and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, if you like 3D World, I think you would like Galaxy. I mean, I think it's no contest. I think Galaxy is easily better than the 3D Land and 3D World games.
All right, here we go. This is a pretty good beat-em-up. I think you would like this.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I would. Well, I mean, it's not really even... Die Hard. It's branded in the U.S.
Well, it's based on. I mean, he looks like John McClane, specifically.
Yeah. But it's called Dynamite Deca.
Right. And there's a 2 on the Dreamcast.
Right. Dynamite Deca 2 is called Dynamite Cop here.
Right.
And I really want to get that, actually.
Yeah. I
think it's more affordable than this.
The funniest thing about this is he has, like, this police jacket on, and then as soon as it, like, cuts to another scene, suddenly he's just, like, in his wife beater. Like, I don't know if that's, like, the specific term, but, like, it's, like, his tank top. That's, like, what they always called it, like, in my hometown. Sorry, it's like an awful term for it. I never really thought about it, saying it out loud like that. Sorry. But that was like always like the tank top name.
I think I've heard that term before.
Yeah. I never really thought about it, like saying it out loud like that.
But, well, like you can get like all sorts of like really like stupid weapons in this too, right?
Yeah. Like it's. But it'll after this scene, he'll come out of the elevator, and he just like has his tank top on.
Like, like
randomly, this guy has a rocket launcher.
They like don't show him losing his jacket.
No. Look how stupid that rocket launcher is. It's just like a box.
It's like a GameCube.
Yeah. Missile launcher.
But these games are this game and the Dreamcast game, they're both co-op, right?
Yeah.
Are the H's health?
I don't know. Let's pick it up and see that. Maybe. What? See, watch. Once it goes, he'll come out of the elevator. What? Well, there's like cutscene.
Why is the subtitle Japanese?
I don't really know. I don't know.
Because you're playing the American version. It said Die Hard Arcade on the title screen.
Yeah. I don't know.
Way too next stage.
Yeah. Now watch. There he is. Ready to go. I mean,
I think I want to say the Dreamcast game is not as expensive as this, like maybe $50. So I kind of want to get that.
Yeah, you should.
I think it'd be a good co-op game.
It would be amazing. The jumps are pretty floaty, like it. Like, watch this move. It does that flip.
I love how when you shoot with the gun, like the recoil, like he moves
look
his
at him running
like,
right.
Like all the way back over his head. It's like,
see, you have to hit a button, but it doesn't tell you which one, I think. See, this guy has a machine gun. Oh, an axe. I got an axe now.
Have you ever played I think it's called Die Hard Trilogy for PlayStation?
I got Die Hard Trilogy 2 at Too Many Games.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It has a Gun Con level.
Right. Well, I thought you could use the Gun Con like for the whole game, like optionally.
Can you?
I don't know.
I think like, it has a driving level and he has all this other stuff.
A friend of mine had it, I think, back in the day. Either had it or he rented it, because I remember seeing him play it. But I don't think he had a Gun Con, but I definitely remember thinking at the time, like, oh, you could play this game with the light gun.
I thought it was just one level.
I don't think he had a Gun Con, though. I don't know. I thought the whole game was like an on-rails first-person shooter. Right? Isn't it?
I mean, maybe it's not. I got him. Look, I got to show it from three different angles and punching him. Sorry. Just see. You know, he's got. There's just like a Gatling gun laying there too. No, it's not. It's not a Gatling gun. It's a anti-tank rifle. It says. That's something you don't see enough people at urinals in games. Especially in beat-em-ups.
I mean, that's like the whole bathroom room and the facility in GoldenEye. Like, I think it's just like iconic only for the reason that it's like har bathroom and video game.
Is there anybody using it?
I can't remember if people use the urinals in that, but they definitely use the stalls.
Okay. Like, why is this guy naked? He's just like in his underwear. Came out of the stalls and he's just in his underwear. Look at him. See him?
Yeah.
You know, what was he doing in there?
This is definitely a pretty goofy, over the top game.
Yeah.
I wish I knew. Like, because, you know, I saw a copy of this at the Grid, like, the first time I visited. It was, like, maybe 20 or 25 bucks.
Oh, see, now it's, like, $70 now.
Yeah. It was, like, 3 or 4 years ago. Failure.
It's, like, isn't that what, Smash Brothers says, "Failure."
Oh yeah, I think so.
Oof. Here we go. So, suddenly, robots, spider robots.
You know, like, why did they feel a need to brand this as a diehard thing? Like Dynamite Cop is like an awesome name.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why they couldn't just call the first one that.
It's a tough game. I wonder if you can get like more extra continues in it. Cause it's pretty tough. Oof. We got lasers. Oh, I can use the robot arm as a weapon. It says robot arm.
I love the recoil on that gun. It's so over the top.
I wonder how long this is. Oh, it's this guy again.
I wonder if the second player shares the same credits.
I don't know. So should we talk?
Wow, there's like expression in the faces in the cutscenes. Like, that's like next gen, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've seen that detailed of a face that was on that lady. Like, I don't think I've seen a face that detailed on like PlayStation. Like on N64, like you know, the Mario face comes to mind, but like not something that you would see like in a cutscene.
I don't know what the H is.
Who made this? Sega?
Yeah.
And there's a Japanese PS2 version of this, right?
Yes, it's in the Sega Ages 2500 series.
And it looked the in the Ages. Video like it's been revamped.
M2 did it.
Oh, okay.
It was one of the later ones, so.
Is it pretty good? Pretty good version, you think?
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Is that game expensive?
I think it's pretty moderately expensive for that series. Some of those are really, really cheap, and some are a bit more expensive. It has a mode specifically for like the Saturn. It has a Saturn mode and a PS2 mode. You want me to play something else? Might as well. I'll play something.
Yeah. We got a few minutes. Got any ideas?
No, I'm just gonna look.
What about Sonic R?
Ugh, I don't think it's particularly good. I tried to like play it, and it just like
was it even in the episode?
I used the background at one point.
Ah,
from it.
Oh, that counts.
Let's see what we got here. You know, I'm going to play Danpachi. This game has amazing, amazing voiceovers.
Oh, yeah?
I was pretty...
It's a Japanese game?
Yes. It's a cave shooter.
But does it have English?
Yes. Yeah. The voice is like, Danpachi! The voice is a little fuzzy. I have the first one and the second one, which was Dodonpachi, which I don't think is as good as the first one.
Well, Dr. Octagon, I know, says Dodonpachi is so much better.
You know, I played them both, and I just like found myself enjoying this one a bit more. Select your battle fighter. It's gonna be the red one. Okay, good luck. he has some like really funny voiceover. It's like so intense. Even since you can't hear it, I will tell you what he says when he says it.
Okay. Oh, that's a pretty cool transition screen with those like rupees. Is that like the load? That's like a really long load.
Yeah, surprisingly. Apparently, this is also on the PlayStation 1, but I guess it doesn't do a very good job. Like, you pretty much have to play it in tape mode.
In what mode?
In, like, the sideways TV mode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. That's just basically what I said, or what I read about it.
So weird, weird scaling on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be like a recurring factor with like a lot of these kind of things.
Yeah, I feel like they put the ground on like a, like it's like a 3D layer that they pushed off into the Z-axis.
Yeah.
And probably like your ship like moves on the actual 2D layer, I would guess.
Yeah.
This looks pretty good. It doesn't look like quite as overwhelming as like cave shooters became.
Right. I mean, this might be like their first one.
Really?
I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't want to say that for sure, but this is like, it's pretty early. I mean, this is like 96 or something like that. Will you look them up really quick to see what their first one was?
No.
Watch yourself, kid.
Let's see. They were founded in 94.
So it's got to be pretty early. You know, I love it when you almost are about to kill the boss, the voice goes, just a few more hits.
Oh, that's cool. yeah, this is their first game. Danpachi, then Dodonpachi. Then Steep Slope Sliders.
Yeah, which is really weird. It's a snowboarding game.
Is that awesome. A weird snowboarding game or just a snowboarding game?
Yeah, did the game just freeze? No, I thought it froze for a second.
So I guess they maybe tried a handful of not
quite
shooters, and then it just really became their niche.
Yeah. I mean, this is like not quite... I wouldn't classify this as like bullet hell.
No.
Well, I mean, this is...
I mean, it's getting there, but...
Yeah.
Are they the creators of the genre, or...?
They might be.
They released a game in 2007 called Moochie Moochie Pork.
That sounds awesome.
It has a exclamation mark after it.
What kind of game is that, I wonder?
It says cooking cute 'em up on
on
Wikipedia. It has something called a lard attack. When enemies are destroyed using the A shot, the enemies will drop parachuting pigs that will automatically be collected when the player is near them.
Man,
collecting these
like...
pigs will fill up the lard meter at the bottom of the screen, will also increase the player's score by 1,000 points. If these pigs are collected while using the B shot, the player's score will increase, but the lard meter will not fill up. If the lard meter is empty, the player has collected sufficient P items, B button will fire the lard attack. The lard attack is stronger than the regular shot, but at the expense of slowing the player's movement.
The death animation this is pretty good.
Here's the plot of Moochie Moochie Pork. The story features a trio of females from Batzuka City who have been transformed into pig girls by the main antagonist, General Pork Filet. They ride flying motorbikes called Keta Machines, which are powered by pedaling. Very little story is shown in-game, besides a few comic strip style images shown at the start and a short ending sequence.
Is this on the Saturn?
It's on Xbox 360 in Japan.
Interesting.
And arcade. This article, I feel like, is way more involved, and there's some poor writing in it. I feel like this entire article was made by like a cave super fan, and if anyone anyone who, you know, is like very much about Wikipedia standards were to discover this, they would flag it as I don't know. This article is like, you know, the intro section to a fact. Like, it's more detailed than a shmup that was only released in Japan ought to be.
That transition between stages is pretty cool.
I mean, not to say that games shouldn't have more detailed Wikipedia pages, but it's more detailed than the norm.
Load times between the levels are pretty,
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's really... Well, you know, like... Back in the day... you know, I guess one of the defenses for N64 was always, you know, oh, no load times. But in reality, like, the load times in most PlayStation and... I'm not as familiar with Saturn, but I mean, I assume Saturn in general as well. Like, the load times aren't that bad, I don't think. I mean, I am a pretty patient person in general, so it doesn't really... I've never, like, thrown a fit about load times.
You played, like, Sonic 06, that's when it, like, has notorious load times, and you played through that whole game.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't really even think about the load times. All right, they didn't make an impression. I don't really recall. Yeah, but
People are being like, "You wait,
to
you
be
played
honest,
through
what
that?"
Annoys me, what does annoy me, which I mean, it's understandable, and the trade off is worth it. But like, you know, games like say Uncharted and Final Fantasy 15, and you know, some of those open world games have these like insane initial loads, but then you know, obviously, it's like it's seamless from there,
right?
But the initial load is like super long. Like I've noticed it lately because you know now that I've got my 4K TV, like Final Fantasy 15 was a game that I boot up a few times to test things, and Uncharted as well. You know, just because yeah, they were games that you know I already had beaten. I could like load up and you know
anywhere,
test
yeah.
out like. Any yeah different areas and stuff
even though you hated Final Fantasy 15.
I wouldn't say I hated it, but you know like the more time that passes I feel like it was a little bit bad.
Yeah. when you get the bombs, when you pick up a bomb, the voice mm-hmm. says bomber.
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 Wow, look at the size of that battleship. Keep your finger on the trigger, rookie.
That boy is like, wow, look at the size of that battleship. Keep your finger on the trigger, rookie. It's a great voiceover. It's a little fuzzy sounding, but for the most part, it just like says awesome stuff. I was immediately taken by that. Actually, when I played it. Oh, look out.
But yeah, man, playing Final Fantasy 12.
This really drove home how much better it
how
is
much
than
better 15. It is than Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I've seen some comments online lately that like of people like kind of revisiting Final Fantasy 12, like maybe people who didn't think that it was like that amazing when they played it on PlayStation 2 originally, and now they're kind of like, oh, this is actually pretty good. Like, I feel like it was kind of ahead of its time.
Yeah,
like it had a lot of, you know, like Dragon Age's battle system, I think took heavily from it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, the party AI setup is very, very similar to Gambit's.
Interesting.
You don't really do that for your main character. So, well, maybe you do. I can't remember. There's definitely more that you would probably do in Dragon Age, like controlling your character directly. But, Final Fantasy 12, you can really automate things.
Yeah.
Which is like, the gameplay. The automation is the gameplay.
Yeah, so most of the fun.
Yeah.
Is like, how well can you optimize it?
Right. Like, at the time, there was a lot of criticism of like, oh, that's the Final Fantasy that, you know, it just plays itself.
But not
well,
really.
Yeah, but
I mean,
you have to make it do that. That's the fun.
All you're doing is just like designing like the ATB battle, like before you're in the battle.
Right. And then, you know, when it doesn't work correctly, then you have to like, you know, drop in and do manual commands.
Right.
Or, you know, adjust them. I mean, you can always change them in the middle of battle.
But I mean, I noticed right away when, you know, when I just like put it in for a second just to kind of see what it looked like, you know, I was immediately like, wow, this is like just so much better than 15. Like I wanted to keep on playing it.
Yeah.
Like 15, I just couldn't wait to be done with it.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 12 on PS2, like it is a hard game to go back to now, I feel, like the look of it.
Wait, what is?
Like the PS2 version of 12, I feel is a little hard to go back to.
Oh, really?
Well, so someone was commenting in the chat that it was known for its jaggies. He remembers many people complaining about, which I mean, that's kind of the nature of PS2 anyway. But But I remember it just almost in some areas looking almost oddly low res. I don't know. But another thing that's reason it's hard to revisit is because its FMVs are in 16:9. Mm-hmm. And if you're playing that on an HD TV, then they're like super tiny and it looks awful.
Really?
Well, because they're letterboxed.
Right. I didn't see, I guess.
But, you know, now playing it on PS4, like everything is, you know, fills the whole screen properly. Right. Of course, the FMVs are definitely upscaled. I don't know what resolution they were originally rendered at. I mean, they were not re-rendered, in any capacity, I don't think. There's a decent upscaling put on them, but like the game FMVs, or not FMVs, the game cutscenes, the engine cutscenes definitely look better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely tell as well.
Yeah, I mean, there especially is like there's like sort of some panning across a shot or something. You can definitely see some warbling around the edges, like it's sort of, you know, they upscale it. They didn't do a terrible job, all things considered.
Bomber. Can't believe it says bomber.
Bomberman.
Yeah. I don't know why it just like is allowing me to continue. I think it says zero continues. I don't know why it's letting me do it. It says credit zero and it just like lets me continue. I don't know why.
Maybe you're playing a hacked version.
Maybe. Very possible. This game's not too expensive. It's like,
really?
Yeah, I mean, it's in the scheme of things. I mean, it's like,
well, how much is it?
Like $50.
Is Japan only though?
Yeah.
Well, you should get it.
Maybe I will sometime. There was a copy at Too Many Games. That I guess was like kind of in rough shape though.
You know, I feel like there was not a lot of, not as much import stuff as usual at Too Many Games this
year.
Yeah. Like, Mad Gear was the only real import place.
Right. That's true.
But other sellers tend to have something, but not as much this year, I felt.
Nope. Definitely gets a bit harder here as you go. I've been dying a lot. But then again, I just have unlimited continues. It's one of those things, like, if the game does give you unlimited continues, like, they didn't really figure out the whole you should earn the credits as you go until later on.
I feel like Ikaruga maybe pioneered that.
Yeah, that's like a great, it's like a great way to incentivize, like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know which came first, like Ikaruga or, like, the console versions of Time Splitters 2 does that. I know 3 does, but 2 does it as well, right?
Where you Time earn... Splitters? I
not, why am I saying Time Splitters? Time Crisis.
Oh, well. Yeah. Please continue. I don't know. Like, I guess it'd be pretty close. I don't know.
I mean, there might have been something that did before that, but that's what I'm familiar with.
Yeah. Yeah, same here. Oh, man. Well, is that going to do it for this week?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll have something fun for you next week. We'll see, though. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yep. Anyways, everybody, we will we'll see you next week.
All right.
I don't have anything else. I'm out.
Nothing else?
No. Nope. I mean, do you have anything that you'd like to share?
Anything to tease? No.
You never know. Maybe we'll have something to tease in a couple days. Maybe.
Maybe we'll be able to release something.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe. We'll All right. see. Look forward to it.
Yep. All right, everybody. Good night.
Good night.